Trumos, Per Gimel, Mishnah Ches, 3:8. We just got finished talking about the importance of the verbal declaration in contrast to the physical separation of the various tithes. That is to say, the Kriya Shem is a verbal declaration which takes effect and that is binding prior to any physical separation of the part of the pile that you're separating as Truma, etc. The question now in our Mishnah is, what happens if you, when you do your Kriya Shem, you refer to something with a slip of the tongue and you don't refer to the piece that you intended to refer to? That is to say, for argument's sake, you had two grapes, this one and that one, and you meant to say this one is Truma, but you accidentally said that one is Truma, or you said north instead of south, etc. You didn't say what you had a slip of the tongue, you didn't say what you meant. So now what happens? Is that binding that all of a sudden, since you said it now, it makes it into Truma or not? And the answer is no, it's not. There's a requirement that one's piv, what he says, and his lave, his heart, are shavin, are in congruence, they're aligned. And if one had in his heart, meaning in his mind, lave meaning really mind, is to refer to A, but he says B on accident, that will not be binding. Now the Mishnah actually is going to discuss four different types of declarations. You may recall that I said, I hope I said it in the introduction that I recorded here, that Truma is sort of like Kadshim light. And if I didn't say that, I'll kind of say it now. So I think in the introduction, I said it's like Kadshim light in as much as normal foodstuffs can't become more tummy than 2 degrees removed. That's a shein l'tumah. But Truma, because it has a special sanctity, can even become a shlishi, and it's Kadshim light. It's like a lesser than the full-blown kachim are the I'll call them foodstuffs and animals that are brought in the mizbeach, etc. So the base of mikdash. So kachim can even become like a revi'i, 4 degrees of separation. So truma is just kachim like, because only 3. But the real reason why truma is, so to speak, kachim light is because what affects truma, what creates the truma, the power, the verbal power to create truma, is derived from the same place. Meaning, the Torah authorizes one to turn something which is chulin, not sanctified, profane, into a hekdesh, which is sanctified. And when he does that by saying this cow will be a korban ola or something like that, so then that declaration is binding. It creates iser and it makes that this cow, in that case, is imbued with a certain sanctity and there's no turning back, etc. And there are all sorts of ramifications. Now the cows become declared to be a certain offering. Now there are all sorts of restrictions of what can be done and dire consequences if the wrong thing is done with that cow, etc. So the power for a person to make a verbal declaration which has binding, sanctifying status is from the power to declare something to be a korban. And that actually has 4 different guises in halacha. There are 4 different kinds of ways one can talk and create new statuses, create iser, etc. And that all derives from one's power to create hektish, verbally. So those 4 categories are all dealt with in this Mishnah, just very briefly. So we're going to have 4 different cases. In each case, we're going to say, if you said, you attempted to do some verbal declaration to change someone's status to make it more hektish and forbidden, but you didn't say what you meant in all 4 categories, it won't be effective, all for the same reason, because there's a requirement for one's heart and mouth to be in alignment. The 4 categories are going to be, first, we're talking about truma and meiser, the actual separation. Then we'll talk about nidrei hektish, making something into a korban, an offering, something like that. Then we'll talk about Shvuos are when one swears to do something or not to do something, or swears that something did happen or didn't happen, that's binding and has consequences. And then finally, Nidre Isser, which are you make some object forbidden for yourself to benefit from, like as if it were a korban, which is forbidden to get benefit from. So I can say, you know, this, I will not get benefit from this table, and now it's forbidden for me to sit on the table, etc. Okay, so those 4 categories all have the same guiding principle, which is that one has to say what he means and mean what he says, or it's not binding. The way we know that's true, that one has to have his heart and mouth in alignment, heart again meaning really his mind, is because there are 2 psukim that seem to be a little bit contradictory. One is the pasuk that we talk about One is the pasuk that says "Motzi sfasecha tishmor," which means that which comes out of your mouth, you gotta enforce, you gotta do, in reference to these sort of matters. But a second pasuk, which is the pasuk we referred to in the beginning of our masechta, which was the opening pasukim in Parshas Truma and in Sefer Shemos, which talks about all of the kol nadiv lev, everyone who's moved in his heart to give. And we said those put on restrictions, like the member of the Shota couldn't now separate Truma because he doesn't have a sufficient lev mind to be mitnadev, to give from. So you see the two psukim here, one is talking about motzvis vasecha tishmor, which comes out of your mouth you have to do, it's binding. And one says it has to happen in your heart. The movement and the motivation has to come from your own will inside your heart, your mind. So how do you resolve that? Is it the separation, the giving happening in one's mouth activity or one's heart activity? And the answer is, well, it has to be both. It has to be that the heart and the mind are both in alignment. So that's what the Mishnah has to say for itself. And here's what it does say inside. It says, "Hamischaven lomar truma." If a person meant to say truma, meaning I'm saying this grape should be truma, but an accident, v'amar maser. The word that came out of my mouth is maser. I just slip of the tongue. Or maser, if I meant to say maser, v'amar truma, but an accident, I said the word truma. In that case, we're going to say it's not going to work. That's the first category. The second category is, for example, if a person says ola, he meant to say ola. So I want to make this cow be an ola, a holy burnt offering. But va'amar shlamim, I say on accident, this cow is a shlamim. Slip of the tongue, a shlamim is like a peace offering. Or if I say shlamim va'amar ola, or if I meant to say shlamim va'amar ola, but on accident I said ola. Again, that's nidri hektesh, making something into a korban. And if you don't have piv v'liv v'shavim, they're not lying, then it doesn't work. The third category is talking about shvuos, making oaths, binding oaths, so swearing. So if a person says, she'eini nichnas labayis zeh, I swear I won't go into this house. I made the same mistake. I intend to say, I won't go into this house, va'amar lazeh, but an accident I say that house. Or she'ein, that's the third category, a shvua. Or the fourth category is a neder. I'm creating something that's forbidden to me. If I wanted to say she'eni nene lezeh, I meant to say that this particular thing is something I will never get benefit from, va'amar lezeh, but I said that thing instead. I meant to say table and I said chair or whatever the story is. Lo amar klum. In all four of those cases, what the person said has absolutely no halachic significance. Ad until she'yu piv v'libo shavin. Until what he says won't have be binding until what his mouth, what he says, and libo, his mind, are shavin, are in alignment.